Now, theoretically, that should mean that Terry is on the line. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
I'm here.
I always feel this little bit of insecurity, but it actually is good for me because it keeps me from being codependent. I said, if Terry doesn't show up, show must go on. Does anyone know that feeling? That feeling when they expect someone to show up and they don't show up and the world falls apart?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, you do. Okay. Let me say hello to the BBS audience. You guys who are listening on BBS, this is a simulcast between a telephone conference call and an internet radio show. And it's kind of off the wall, sacred, corny, and human all at once, or at least at some point or another during the call. Usually all those things show up. And I think that some of the topics we deal with are quite serious, and if you don't approach it with a sense of humor, you'll start getting frown lines. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. You have to look at it seriously. And, you know, there is an aspect of sacred. What is sacred? Sacred is when you kind of hush down all your lower parts, all the lower aspects of yourself, and say, be good. And you kind of rise to attention. And something happens. You feel a shift inside of yourself, and suddenly all those things that were kind of bugging you or annoying for your attention or whatever, they go away. And we could call that sacred. But, you know, you can't make that happen. You have to just say it. You can't say, be sacred, and everything comes together. Or, on the other hand, you can say be sacred, because I guess that's one of the things I've learned to do in doing this, because honestly, it was a little scary at first. It was like, my God, how do I talk about these things? What are people going to think? Maybe they're going to come in little white coats and lock me up, or maybe fundamentalists will be at the door saying, who are you? So I know Terry watched me go through all the changes saying, gosh, I think this is important to put out, and not really knowing how to do it. In fact, if you ever looked at my first website, I didn't even say who I was. I just said the questionnaire, and I spoke. Is that you, Terry? Making all that noise? Let me mute everybody.
Muted. I was muted, so it can't be me.
You know what? None of my controls are working. This is the problem with technology. I can't mute you guys, so let me, if I can't mute you during this call, you'll have to mute yourself, which means push star 6. Thanks so much, because for some reason my controls aren't working. Now, maybe there will be a time for you to say something, and just push star 6 and say it. And then start again, and you'll be muted. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, you know, how do you bring up some of these topics and talk about it and get away with it? And it's like, I know David Wilcock, who is the guy I wrote the book about, he talks about being Edgar Cayce as his Achilles heel. And I understand why he says that. You who look at this cannot understand, or may not be able to understand, how it feels to be doing it or talking about it. Because now some of you are very empathetic and you probably can understand. But one of the things about talking about it is it's not easy. It hasn't been easy. It's like something to learn. Terry's had to learn. You know, when you're communicating with these intelligences in other realms, when you're having conversations with them that are very casual and that they're very considerate and friendly and they're answering all your questions, and everyone thinks, oh my God, tell us everything, Lynn, you must know. And if you've watched me over a number of these calls, you'll have noticed that I always give a lot of caveats in the way of saying that, how do I know they are who they say they are? How do you know they are who they say they are? You see, if you assume blindly that they are who they say they are, and then you believe everything they say, and what if suddenly we made a mistake and it was a negative source? And suddenly you'd be following the directions of something that you didn't want to follow. Now, I don't think that ever happens. I don't think it happens. But you know what? I could make a mistake. You could make a mistake. So it means following the criteria. How do you evaluate what is a positive and a negative source? Now, Carla Rucker, and some of you have read The Raw Material or who have read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, have heard me refer to Carla Rucker many times because she channeled the original Raw Material in 1981. And as I was researching The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I studied her material very intensely because I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on. Who is Ra? Who is talking through David Wilcock? It seems really good. They seem really wise. And Carla was very much attacked psychically when she was channeling Ra. And when we say attacked, I mean almost to the point where she was afraid of dying. And some of you that have read my story know that Daphne was attacked. And there were points when I was worried if she would survive, and she was worried. Just for your information, she's doing okay. She's in Alaska. We talk all the time. And we actually did some readings for a couple of people, and they were successful. Anyone that's interested in a reading from Daphne, I would say don't miss it. It won't be what you think it is, because they really, really are using her. And she's kind of finally gotten how important this is, using her to connect with you and help. It's kind of like an initiation into the celestial realms. So, knock on wood, we'll keep it up. We've tried this before and we couldn't maintain it. But I know the one person that we actually delivered the reading to was very, very touched by what happened. And it's kind of having one of these really high sources look at you and look into you and love you in spite of all your stuff, is I guess the way to say it. And you feel their love, and it makes a connection. I think that's the most significant aspect of this kind of reading. Now, Carla Rucker, when she would talk about channeling, she would say, don't ask transient questions. Transient questions tempt a negative source, because a transient question is one where you're tempted to give up your power. And like sometimes on Wednesdays, I will tell you, I let people ask transient questions because I've learned in general that our source does not answer the question in the way that the person is asking it. For example, oftentimes somebody will say, should I marry Bill? Or should I move here? Or should I do that? Now, all those kinds of questions are saying, take my power. Tell me what to do. I can't think. What am I supposed to do? And whether you realize it or not, if a source outside of you started telling you what to do, you would suddenly be a slave. And the whole idea of being in this realm and mastering this realm is to become a master of free will. Now, if somebody asked me, what should I do? I would say, okay, first think of this thing, A. Think of how it feels. Think of how your vibrations feel. Because actually, if you learn to be more sensitive, as soon as you think of something, you're doing it. Even if you're not doing it physically, your other bodies are doing it. And if you get your mind out of the way, you suddenly have a feeling of what it's like to be in that circumstance. And then pick the other circumstance and think of that one, and you'll suddenly have a feeling of what it's like to be in that circumstance. So this is the way, one way, to make decisions in the physical realm. And so if somebody says, what should I do? Should I make this decision? The key is, if you don't learn how to make decisions, then no matter what someone tells you to do, it's probably not going to work out the way you'd like it, because it's not coming from your volition. So transient questions tempt a negative source, because if you ask a transient question, then, and a source tells you, like, for example, there are many, many, many little corner psychics, and I'm not judging them, I'm not putting them down, I'm just saying that they operate from, many of them operate from a negative polarity, because they are aimed at getting you addicted to them and spending your money with them. So they want to answer your questions. They want you to call them all the time. And I remember years ago, someone I knew had gone to one of those people, and they told her that, bring so much money and I've got to bury it in the backyard to get this curse off of you. Well, you can see how it's so easy to prey on somebody's fear and get them under your control. So, that all being said, in all of this work I've done in communication with other realms, there is a lot of wisdom that has come through. And you don't really need to believe anything to respond to wisdom. And those of you that have the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is the Ra group speaking through David Wilcock, if we believe all the ways they identify themselves, whether you believe any of the cosmology or whether you believe Wilcock is Cayce, which you know, it's so evident that he is, but, you know, you don't have to believe that to read the wisdom and say, this is really good guidance. And it's so deep, and it's so insightful, and it connects deeply. And then you go into the cosmology. And what's in the cosmology? All this about a dimensional shift, about a division of souls.
Sorry, I didn't realize we needed control this.
Somebody came on, and you have background noise. Could you push *6, please? And if you already did it before, don't do it. But if you just came on, thank you so much. So now in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, they're talking about this dimensional shift, this division of souls, this upgrading of the planet, and ascension. And now here is where I said, oh my God, ascension. I don't want to talk about ascension. No one wants to talk about ascension except Jesus. And you start talking about ascension, and suddenly you're in a field which is about as controversial as you can get in this realm. And it's one that I have no ability to validate. How can I say that that's real from a human level? I can't. I can't say it. So I can share with you some of the research I did, kind of comparing what everyone was saying, and many of the questions that I asked. The person that just came on, welcome to our talk tonight, and if you don't mind, could you push star 6, please, to mute yourself? Thank you. This is an area where I could share with you, and that you will have to draw your own conclusions about. And I was reading, studying the channelings of David Wilcock, and I certainly made a connection with whoever was speaking through him, and what I had studied in the New Testament. And I was by no means a Christian or a conventional Christian. I was brought up Jewish, but I read the New Testament. I read everything. And when I read Jesus, I said, you know what? This guy understands some really deep things. I didn't have to believe it. I found the same kind of wisdom that I felt when I was reading the raw material and the channelings of Wilcock. And Jesus now is talking about ascension. And now Wilcock's talking about ascension. And, of course, then I end up talking to the Elohim, and I'm asking, tell me a little bit about this ascension stuff, would you please? And I'll tell you, it seems like, just for those of you that want to know, here's how it's going to happen, you're not going to find it on this show. You're going to find, what I find is, in all the questioning I've done, it's going to be different for everybody. And I can share with you some of the answers, and we'll even talk to them, and we'll ask them some questions this evening about that particular topic. But if you think you're going to put something in your mind and be at ease with it, you probably won't, because number one, it's going to be different for every person. Number two, I can give you criteria, and you can apply them to yourself. But I will say that if you're sitting around saying, oh, life is terrible, I can't wait to ascend, I can't wait to get out of this realm, you may not get out, because part of the process is loving to be here. And if you can't find a way to love to be here, your energies are not going to be open. Because in one of the channelings with Terry, I asked them, I said, how's this ascension thing going to work? And they said, most people are not going to leave in their bodies. They're going to die, and their astral will ascend into this new earth that's being created. And I said, so what is the criteria to move with your body into that? And they said, all your chakras have to be open. And if all your chakras are not open, your body can't move through it. That means your lower chakras have to be open. Your higher chakras have to be open. You have to be dealing with survival, sex, power, compassion, communication, psychic ability, and your crown chakra. Now, in order to open all those chakras, part of it is you need to be, in a certain sense, communing with other people. You need to be connecting. We need to connect with each other. You can't sit at home saying, okay, I'm ready, take me. And part of what we're doing on these conference calls, some of you have figured this out, is that we're creating a vibration on the call where you can open up. And even if you don't have a partner, even if you don't have anyone you're close to, even if you feel isolated and alone, we can come together and feel that togetherness on these calls. And we're starting something new, which I did a blast out, and, you know, really 20 people responded. And this is one of the most amazing, I think this is going to be one of the best gifts we've ever given to those people that are paying attention to our work. Because it's very clear to me that I'm only one little guy, and I can try to set an example, and I can give you information, but it's what we do with each other, all of us, that keeps us uplifted. And for so many people, they're very far out, and they don't have anyone to connect with. They feel isolated and alone. And you know what? We're putting together these little daily 5-minute sessions that you are going to do with each other, calling in the light with each other. And we're getting everyone to email and say the times they're available. And you don't have to feel like you're committed. You have to do it every day. But there'll be a group of 3 or 4 people that are all working with these higher energies, these higher principles, who are going to meet every day, and I'm not going to be there. I might show up because we'll have all the numbers, so we might, you know, have the free will to just show up and visit occasionally. But you're going to create it yourself, and you're going to learn that you can hold this energy and create it yourself and uplift the vibration of your life. Have a team that's dedicated, 3 or 4 people, and you're going to see all the people in the team, and you're going to see all their weaknesses, and you're going to forgive them, and you're going to be able to hold a higher energy no matter what else is happening. So if you want to be part of that, send an email to Team Shift. I think it's at getresponse.com, team shift. And we're putting together, and of course, we'll be reporting how it works and letting other people share their experiences so other people can hear the experiences. So this is kind of like an Alcoholics Anonymous for upliftment, for spiritual upliftment. And it's not a social gathering. It's not to, you know, meet everyone and have new friends. Although it could turn to that, you know, of course it's great to have friends, but what's really important is to set the tone every day so that you can keep your vibrations above the level of this planet and that you can help each other do that. And it's just a matter of getting together, calling in the light, just like we do on the line, and then putting your individual things in the light. Like I send the light to my sister, or I'm working on my disease. And we're doing this under the auspices of these group souls. They say they're going to be monitoring it all. So it's like your shot, my shot, our shot of doing something that is highly duplicatable and could reach lots and lots of people. And, you know, people say, well, what is your message? We don't have a message. If I wish there was a message to say, go do this. We're actually doing it. We're bringing spiritual energy into this realm. People are feeling it and opening up and loving each other. So now I'm talking too much, and everyone's going to say, Terry's on the line. Why aren't they talking? And I did say, Ascension, are you going to make it? Okay. Well, are you going to make it? How do you know you're going to make it? Well, if you want to ascend with your body, you better make sure you figure out how to get your chakras open. But I would say the first step is not to worry about it. You know what? If you're sitting around worrying about it, it's going to put you into fear, and the fear itself is going to be a counter indication. And don't worry about dying, because it's only a phase. If you pay attention to enough of these calls, we're talking on such a regular basis to those sources that are on the other side of the veil, with where you go when you die, they're going to be there if you make the connection. You know, one of the things that I figured out, and again, I don't have any memory of dying, and I'm a human just like you, except I'm very perceptive. I keep looking at things, and I evaluate it. And one of the things that became obvious to me is that we were picking up this energy on the call, and that many of you have felt that energy, and that was them. We could feel their energy. Now, it's not so normal in this realm to feel an energy that's not from this realm, that's not projected from this realm, that's from another realm, and to feel an energy that when you die, that energy will still be there. I believe it will. Anyway, keep in mind, I'm not speaking from experience, but it makes sense. It makes sense that there's an energy that we're feeling. You know, we all feel energies all the time. And we feel the people around us. We feel the energies of groups. But on this call, we feel an energy that's not in this realm. Not me you're feeling. I can't project into your space. I'm here. I'm sitting in Sedona. And yet I can project into your space because I'm them. You're them. We're each other. We're letting down the walls, the veils, and we're becoming part of each other, touching each other. And we're still individuals. We still have our individual energy units, but we're just making an agreement to be connected. And the connection is a connection which comes from multiple timelines, parts of ourselves that are not in this realm, parts of ourselves that many of us have lost, have disconnected from, and suddenly you're feeling it, and you say, yeah, that's me, because you are those things. They're not bigger than you. They just look that way. You're them. They're you. You know, that's John Lennon's song. I am one you, and you are me, and we are we, and we are all together. Well, that's a song, but we're doing it here. It's the same idea. We're all, we can be separate, and we can be individual all at once. And it's a huge paradox, and you can't understand it in your mind. But in doing this work, the idea that one of the ways that you graduate this realm, one of the ways that you ascend, whether it's in a physical death or with your body, is you have to be in this realm and you have to become very familiar with having your hologram extend into other realms. And that's one of the reference points we're doing here. So why don't we do this, a little, I could call it a meditation. It's not really a meditation. It's really a spiritual exercise, a group intention of coming together and holding space with those parts of ourselves that we call the Elohim and Ra groups, and becoming a huge, Gary doesn't like certain words. Because some people think it means losing yourself, and it does not mean losing yourself. Love does not mean losing yourself. You don't lose yourself in love. You become more of who you are in love. And we're talking about love. We're talking about loving connection. And you don't lose yourself there. You know where you lose yourself? You lose yourself in the fear of losing yourself. You think, oh, my God, if I do that, I'm going to lose myself. So, boom, you're afraid. So you're already now you're separated, and now you're in your separation. And you say, well, at least I'm in my separation. I don't have to worry about losing myself because this is the part that I'm familiar with. I don't want to lose this. I want to feel separated. You know, I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but that's how one way of looking at it. So let's take a moment. We're going to, like, through our intentions, we're just going to, like, converge, blend, braid, intend to come together with a group consciousness. And you can feel, as soon as I say that, some of you, and if you don't feel it, if you're one of those that doesn't feel it, just think that we're a bunch of wackos. Or you might keep coming back, and on the third time, you might feel it, okay? Consider it. Sometimes people's minds think so much that they can't let the energy through. So we're making an intention to blend our energies and to connect with those group souls that have said they're watching us and they're part of this. And at this point, I believe it's true. It took me a while to believe it, but too much evidence. And we're an extension of all that energy in this realm, which tends to compress us. So we lose tap of it. And when we make this connection, we can bring it back into our bodies, like I do very often. If you shut your eyes and take your shoes off and bring the energy back to the top of your head, and to visualize it, because everything is invisible, to visualize it, just visualize this huge ball of light that we're all creating that's above our heads, and that we have not just us, but we have our friends in high places joining with our energies, and we're reaching up, and we're just going to bring like a stream of energy back through our body, but it's really strong, comes through the top of our head, through our crown chakra, and some of you can feel it, some of you can see the light, some of you can feel the space through the crown chakra, through your head, through your mouth, through your neck, through your chest, through your heart, healing all the hurts, the separations that are in your heart, the betrayals, through your solar plexus, through your solar plexus power. Every time you feel like a victim and somebody's controlling you, your energy in your solar plexus is weak. So just see it all being really strong, and down to your genitals. And what's the thing about genitals? It's either divine connection with someone, or it's guilt and shame. Let go of guilt and shame. Let go of it. Let go of it and say however it expresses itself down there is okay. There's no judgment as long as you're not hurting anyone. And then there is the root chakra. That's the chakra that goes into the earth. If you're following this, we now have all the energies moving up and down from the celestial realms through our heads and into the earth. And we're all become a team of energy that's, when we do this, it has an amazing impact on our planet. We change the vibrations of ourselves and everything around us. And we change the vibration of the group collective consciousness. And, you know, when I first considered this idea, I didn't quite believe it. I didn't realize how powerful it was. And it's not that I disbelieved it. I'm very much a guy that says, show me. I don't want to believe things just because somebody says it. So I can start to see how it works. It's kind of like if somebody's really positive and they walk into a room, oftentimes they'll cheer the whole room up. And even if they don't say anything, that's what we're doing. We're cheering the collective up. It's not normal to have this kind of group, this kind of connection. And on that note, I'm going to call in the light officially. And this is basically what's going to happen on Team Shift. there'll be 3 to 4 people, and they'll go around, and each person will call in the light on a different day, and then they'll put whatever their problems are in the light and hang up. 5 to 10 minutes. Not to feel socially obligated, not to chat, just bring in the energy. Perhaps if we are doing prayer intercession or on planetary stuff, we'll recommend that everyone says, okay, on your meetings, bring in this, so that we build a stronger, consistent energy that can affect the collective. Father, Mother, God, for the presence of the light, to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. Right now, we invoke a connection, a group energy amongst all of us present, a blending of energy. And this is occurring in other realms. We're not having to pick up all of our garbage, because we all have garbage. We're not doing that. We're just blending it in the realms above this realm, in the higher dimensions, where we already exist as a blending. We are just tuning into something that always exists, but we're making ourselves aware of it, and we invite our group souls, intelligence operating, the highest good of all concerned, in the Christ energy under the law of one, to join with us. And Terry, we may have some background noise, but that really bugs Terry when she's channeling, so I hope it doesn't get screwed up. But I couldn't mute everybody, so be patient. It's actually been very good so far, and I'd appreciate it if any of you are thinking of hanging up, hang up right now, because I can't mute your hang up, and it's really irritating to the channel. Okay, so either hang up now or stay for another 10 minutes while we go through this. And I now turn it over to our source. Hopefully, they're there.
And the light is here. We are taking any negativity to the higher realms of light and transmuting it for the highest good. We greet you. We are here. This is Ra On. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We have something to say to you concerning ascension. Ascension is what can be a very pleasant process. If one drags one's heels or gives resistance, then it can be discouraging process if one is trying to stay in this life and to not move into the transition. But if one has their heart totally open and their attention out and can accept alternatives, then it becomes a very sweet and pleasant process. And even if one does not take their body with them, which the majority of people will not, they will leave the shell of their matrix body here, but will then refocus and will find great pleasure in the lighter circumstances one finds one in, where instead of having to walk with 2 feet, one can intend where one is going to be able to go, and one can feel the sweetness of the connection with their surroundings without the limitations of movement which the body possesses. One can be in the body, and then when they let go of the body, then they can move with the flow of energy, which normally will take them upward bound and reestablish them in either a holding pattern where they will then move into another body in, say, another earth, perhaps another earth, or into the heaven realm where they can then meet with their relatives, and often they are guided by their relatives to the higher realm. And their relatives who care for them meet them and bring them and show them the way through the heaven's gates to the higher dimension. It is a very sweet and beautiful process, and many individuals who have suffered a blow or some life-threatening process then find themselves on the other side, and it is so sweet. They do not wish to come back. As a body gets older, the body can have more problems. And so when one transitions, they have the opportunity to move in time and take up their body more of the matrix as it was, say, in the 20s or at an optimum time, and then to move with this new body. And it is a very sweet, beautiful experience. Do you have questions?
You know, many people have hopes and dreams of things that they wanted to accomplish in this realm. For example, probably one of the most common is, God, I want my soulmate. I want to be in love. And they feel lonely and separate until they can create that experience. When somebody is in that space, what is the best counsel from the higher realms to move through that?
There are several reasons one can get into this mindset. One of them is that they have lost a lover in the previous life for which they have had a very good relationship, and they may be longing for this lover in this relationship, in this life, and be seeking the same individual that they had such a good relationship with in the past. This individual may not be in the same situation that they can have a love relationship in this life, and they may come back as maybe a child or a relative or in another means to relate. So it gives the individual many opportunities to relate in different ways to that individual and to be different things for that individual. The other thing is that there are more than one individual that one can relate to in the area of a very close soul connection. And if one is waiting and waiting, they may miss the opportunity for exploration to find other individuals for which they could have a very satisfying relationship.
If someone goes through their life with this longing for their significant other and they should die without having fulfilled that, How might that impact their ability to graduate this realm?
It depends on many factors. If they are just grounded to the earth, just not open towards movement, they may miss the whole experience of even finding their mate. Whether they are in this realm or whether they are not in this realm or have ascended or are in the heaven realm, then they will find that individual, if the individual has a similar goal, which normally they would, and their need and their concern and their love will eventually bring them back together, if it may not be in this life. So one should not worry about the particulars. It is the desire and the intent and the yearning that will eventually bring them back together.
How about someone who has come into this realm and is very sick and very weak, and their body is not functioning well, and they feel a lot of pain just being in a body? How does that impact the ability to graduate this realm?
They can still graduate in this realm. It depends upon that they may have had certain goals to only be here for a certain period of time and then to leave. And when they leave, they may just transition out of the pain. However, if it's a karmic situation, they may be too grounded from the sickness. It depends totally upon their intent and their intimation, the various fine-tuning of their intent, what happens and where they go.
How about someone that is very, say, revengeful, holding bitterness, having been victimized, feeling that they are the victim of the world, the victim of their circumstances, and they're really hurt and alienated? Well, does that person have the potential to graduate?
That person... again, it depends upon other factors. Often somebody that feels this way has been alienated in youth or in an earlier lifetime where they have been denied love or have been victimized and are really resentful that they didn't receive their share of love that they feel is a just matter they deserve. Are you still hearing me?
I'm still hearing you.
Yes, but we may get kicked off of BBS or non-BBS. The individual usually has a very, it's pivoted, their sadness, their vindictiveness, their rage, their revenge is pivoted on a very fine point, and if they can examine that point, the exact point that keys them in, then they may be able to move to know more about it and eventually to move through it. It is, again, a very fine point, and they may carry the rage with them if they don't release the charge and keep working until they work through it.
Thank you. Well, we've reached the end of our time, and I want to thank everyone on BBS who's listening, and I want to thank everyone who's on the conference call who's supporting the energy. And... the replay of this, because I couldn't start it to record, will be on a download. Maybe I'll try to re-record it on the telephone line so that people who listen in that way have the chance to hear it. And again, our website is messageaday.net, and we're starting our new program called Team Shift, and it's Team Shift at Get Response. Just send an email and write down the times that are good for you to be available, and we'll be having that going probably within a week. So thank you all for being here. Thank you, Terry. And those of you who know, on Wednesday we do a call where you can actually ask questions. And we send your questions at messageaday.net. And we might pick your question. Thank you. God bless you all. And we'll see you.
There are 11 callers on the call.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.